Welcome to the Uncivilized Podcast. My name is Trevor Boehm and I will be your host. Every week or so, I try to get myself a fascinating human on the mic for you, someone who looks at the civilized world just like you do and says no thank you. Someone who wants to break some rules, to lead, and to bring their unique vision into the world. Someone for whom the status quo simply will not do. I hope you enjoy these conversations as much as I do. Please dive in. Hey folks, welcome to another episode of the Uncivilized Podcast. This is Trevor Boehm, your host. And today I got to do something really special, something I haven't done in a while. And that was actually sit across from my podcast guest, as in I could have reached out and touched him. It was amazing to be in the space of a human, especially one as interesting as today's guest. So this is Jennings Hester. Jennings was a Division I all-star football player. He played at Alabama, which if you know anything about football, is a big deal. And yet, Jennings now has a movement and a nonprofit called Fishing the Good Fight that helps men, especially men, learn about mental health issues. We do not talk about mental health issues with men in this country, do we? We're just not there yet. But depression, anxiety, addiction, suicide, all of it is a huge piece of the male puzzle that gets overlooked. And so Jennings is this perfect package because he doesn't look like a dude who'd be depressed. And I know I'm saying a loaded statement by saying that. He's jacked. He's huge. He has a full head of hair. He's got a jaw that you could like cut bread on or something. He's a man's man. Yet he's had to deal with this stuff himself. So his story and the work he does to shed light on mental health issues is amazing. Whether you are a man or you love a man, whether this has been a challenge for you or you know someone who it is, please give this a listen with open ears. Ladies and gentlemen, Jennings Hester.
Well, thank you for having me over, Jennings.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Tell me what's set up here. And for people who aren't going to see the video, we're just going to hear.
Yep.
Tell me about fishing the good fight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what we've got here is actually a fly tying vise. So this is how you actually make flies for fly fishing.
Gotcha.
So it's a big hobby for a lot of people. We actually sell our flies. It's a big revenue source for us. But we got started last November, and our whole mission is helping men with mental illness by leveraging fly fishing.
Okay.
It's such a therapeutic outlet. So, you know, there's about 75% of all suicides are men,
right,
while only 25% of people treated for it are men. So there's
treated for depression.
Treated for depression.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's flip-flopped.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because of the stigma around it. And it's because most guys aren't really aware. Me, myself, I had no clue that I had depression at a young age. It was even an option to get treated.
Okay.
So we wanted to find a way to help destigmatize it, provide resources for men who do want to take action and don't know what to do.
Right.
And then help subsidize costs for guys that can't afford it. Therapy's not cheap.
Walk me through, if you would, and walk the audience through a little bit of your own history with it and how this came to be something for you. Before we even get into the business and the movement and the nonprofit, but what was it like for you? And for guys listening, see if this sounds familiar.
Right, exactly. So I got depression and anxiety at a pretty young age, late teenager, had no clue that I had anything wrong. I just thought that's how it was.
Can you say what that, like, what
yeah, you so, you know, I think a lot of people have a certain understanding of anxiety, but the depression side of things is, lack of mental clarity, struggle with a consistent sleep schedule. So staying in bed too long or not sleeping enough. And the mental clarity is one of the most challenging pieces to me is you just can't focus. You feel like you've got a fog in your head.
Okay.
You know, those are some of the biggest things, suicidal thoughts, you know, plans on different suicide attempts, you know, that obviously never went through.
Right.
The constant state of sadness and just not finding joy in a lot of the activities that you used to enjoy.
Right. So I'm going to throw something at you that you probably heard and that a lot of guys probably who, especially guys who can see this, you look like a big, strong, happy guy.
Right.
Like you're an ex-athlete, correct?
That's right.
So help people who don't understand how the pack, the picture can feel different. How does that come through, or how did you overcome that?
Yeah.
Of the like, wait a minute, I'm over 6 feet. It looks like you got a full head of hair. You got a jaw. You got some shoulders. Like, you're a dude.
Right.
Did you have to reconcile with any of that? Or did people say, hey, this is all going to, I don't want to say in your head, cause it's cliche.
Right.
But like, just get over it, dude. You got all the right parts.
Yeah. You know, I was pretty silent about it.
Okay.
To be honest, I didn't talk to people about it very much. Cause like I said, I didn't think there was, I thought that's just how it was.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Comparison, huh?
Right. Exactly. I didn't know better. So, you know, being an athlete and I was an inside linebacker and went on to play in college, you know, you're taught your whole life to suck it up.
Right.
You know, from a physical injury standpoint and the mental illness side of things, it's invisible.
Right.
You can't see it.
Like, I look at you and go, perfect. He's a specimen.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
right,
and right. As I've come out with my story in this company, a lot of people from my life said, I had no clue.
Right.
But I didn't either.
Okay.
You know, and that's, I think there's a lot of men in that boat.
Yeah.
They don't know they have something they can be treated.
When did it come to a head for you, or when did you realize, okay,
yeah,
everybody else walking around isn't dealing with what I'm dealing with.
Right. You know, I think there were a couple kind of milestones in my life for that. The first was going on to a medical scholarship in football. I got hurt.
Okay.
And so football was taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And that was a coping mechanism for a long time.
Yeah.
That was my addiction,
right.
Training, practice.
Right.
You know, that's where I found my joy. That's how I got my mind away from what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
And so once I got hurt, the depression got bad. And I started to think something was a little bit off. Just seeing how other people acted and that I didn't want to be in a lot of those social settings. And
really,
you know, I preferred spending time in my room alone and just kind of getting away from people. So that was the first sign.
Okay.
Was I just started withdrawing a little bit. And then in my late 20s, I was in a lot of financial stress. I'd been at a job that just didn't work out. And I had a big, big home mortgage that I was trying to keep up with. So I had just insane financial stress at the time. And my depression got so bad that, you know, my girlfriend said, look, you have to do something or I'm out.
Oh, wow.
And my dad basically dragged me to see a psychiatrist. Huh. They couldn't handle listening to the way I talked about myself anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of depression is the self-hate.
Okay.
And how you talk to yourself internally. You know, you're worthless. You're a piece of shit. Like,
why? And this is what you're saying to yourself.
Exactly. This is what you're saying to yourself. This is how you're talking to yourself.
Okay.
Which is extremely powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and so finally my dad basically dragged me to a psychiatrist and I saw a therapist and it was amazing how much over even the course of 6 weeks my life changed.
Because of medication or because you now identify that like, this isn't normal.
Right.
I can put my hand on something.
It's a little bit of both. So, you know, I think medication and therapy were huge.
Yeah.
Definitely wouldn't have turned my life around like I did without that.
Yeah.
But there's certainly a lot of power that comes from, oh, now I know
right
why I felt this way for so long.
Right, right, right.
You know, this isn't normal.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm taking steps to address it.
Okay.
You know, and that's an empowering feeling,
right,
to go from just hating yourself and constantly talking yourself down to saying, okay, now I'm actually taking action to fix this.
Mm.
And I'm empowering myself to improve my life.
Right. I think for guys, especially, so much of the conversation I have, not just with mental health, but with consciousness, with any aspect is, what do I do?
Yeah.
Right. For women, right, it's a little more of like, how do I feel? And guys are like, give me the 3-step checklist.
Exactly.
So you now had something that you could physically do.
Yep.
What was some of the process for you of working with this or learning to live with it?
Yeah.
I imagine it wasn't just like, cool, went to the psychiatrist.
No.
I'm good. I'm like box checked. Happy life. Here we go.
Not at all. You're spot on. And there's a lot of things, you know, and something that was really comforting for me going through that process of self-improvement and overcoming mental illness was my therapist.
Mm.
He was such a key part in this and just saying, look, you're taking a step.
Right.
feel good about that.
Yeah.
You
it's
know,
like first day in the gym, at least you're there.
You journaled today.
Right, right, right.
That's another thing to be proud of.
Okay.
You know, you talked to a friend about this today. Mm. That's another thing to be proud of. So it's building that self-esteem back up.
Yeah.
From how much negativity there is in your own mind.
Wow.
For years. So, therapy, I went just all in,
yeah,
twice a week for
good
6 weeks,
you.
You know, it was massive.
Yeah. 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 I think on every, just about every podcast or interview I do around mental health, like everybody listens right now, if you're a guy, go to therapy. I don't give a fuck what happened or didn't happen.
Correct.
Go to therapy. You think you have a great life? Go to therapy.
Exactly.
Just go to set the trend.
Right? Doesn't matter if you're bad, good. Yeah. It's always beneficial.
Go to therapy.
can't say it enough.
Did you have any resistance? Any of like the normal male, like I'm not going to therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. How did you work through some of that?
You know, I wasn't going to see a psychiatrist.
Okay.
You know, my dad scheduled that for me.
Wow.
And basically forced it down my throat. And once I talked with the psychiatrist and just went through my feelings and thoughts, and he, you know, he quickly said, look, this is severe clinical depression.
Okay.
This is treatable.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to continue living with this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a first step where I was like, oh shit, you know, like I can do something about this. And then I reached out to my therapist on my own and that was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, as a man, most guys don't ever think of therapy.
Right, right, right.
Or a mental illness or anything. Like that's just for soft people.
Right.
That's just for the weak.
Right.
You know? And I knew I wasn't that. I was 6'3", 250,
right.
You know, SEC linebacker. Like,
right.
And, but it was hard to get over that. You still feel like a coward when you initially reach out. And I just kind of, I sent him a long email and it was just basically an email of self-hate. How much I hated myself.
Wow.
Why I was bad at this. Why I was bad at that. Why I was bad with my family.
Yeah.
And
in the face, I'm going to just challenge in the face of being an elite athlete in an elite program and an elite conference.
Right.
So the outside reference is not that you're bad at things. You're in the fucking 1% of the
1%. Right.
And yet, so I hope guys hearing this, that it doesn't have to be that your life situation is challenged. You can
right.
have it all and yet still be dealing with, just like we wouldn't be saying, wow, you know, you had bone cancer.
Yeah.
That's shocking given the fact that you drive a Porsche. Like, how can you have bone cancer?
Yeah, but
for guys that are resistant to therapy, one, what would you say to them? And two, what was the, besides your dad, like, was there any decision that you kind of had to look in the mirror or sit with yourself and say, hey, you know what? I'm willing to try this because.
Yeah. You know, the first thing in regards to your first question, I'm going to repeat what you said.
Sure.
I don't care how you think you're doing in life. If you think your life's awesome, if you think it's terrible, if you're struggling with depression, substance abuse, have a great job, just lost a great job. Go to therapy.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much you get out of just talking to another human being and laying it all out there in a safe setting.
For sure.
For anyone. And then with your second question, yeah, you know, it was, I think the bravest thing I had to do with it was that initial email to the therapist.
The first step.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Okay. To make contact.
Yeah.
Is
that because you have to admit it to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, it was really empowering. Writing that long email that I wrote, just talking about myself so negatively and looking back on that a year later, I couldn't really believe the way I was talking to myself.
Wow.
And that was the most empowered thing I did. I verbalized it.
Right.
Which is the benefit of therapy, right? You're making yourself, verbalize your emotions.
Right. You gave voice to what was going on inside of you.
Exactly.
And when you give voice to something, it gets to leave your body.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. What was the process? If you could just walk. So I'm really hoping someone's listening to this.
Me too.
And going, oh shit, I resonate with that.
Yep.
But I'm terrified because I don't know. I want steps A through F before I make this decision.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened after those 6 weeks?
So after that, I continued in therapy. I have for the rest of my life and I'll never stop. You know, for me, it was just taking baby steps.
Okay.
Every day it was applying for a job, It was just taking action on things. It was going to the gym, even though I still didn't find pleasure in it, you know, like I used to.
Right.
Making myself go to some social settings, setting a goal for myself. Maybe it was just going out one night that week.
Yeah.
With a couple close friends.
Yeah.
And being comfortable with it. But then the learning side of things, diving into books, you know, reading all about men's mental illness and societal norms and what modern masculinity looks like and why it's such a conflict for so many guys, which you do an awesome job of talking to, and just self-educating myself and realizing just how prominent of a pandemic this is and how many others there are in the same boat.
Yeah. Wasn't it only in like the 80s that men actually got diagnosed with
depression? I think it's around right? then.
It wasn't in the DSM. I could be making this up completely, but I believe it, you know, it's not that recent.
No.
And they were just like, oh, it's dudes.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Right.
Or like he'll get over it or he'll tough it out. Okay. So day by day, process by process, little by little, step by step. Yeah. Was there a time when you had not a breakthrough moment, but where you woke up and went, wow, things are radically different now than they were X time ago.
You know, I'm trying to think if there's a specific moment that comes to mind, but probably 6 months or so afterwards, after I'd started seeking help, I had taken a new job with the company I'm still with today. And I was super excited about it. It was a job that got me back into sports with a lot of people that I know in that industry, teammates of mine and coaches and so forth. And I took the weekend off and I went camping with my dog, and my girlfriend's brother gave me a fly rod and a reel.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was doing. You know, it took me an hour to try to tie on a fly. I had no idea. I'm just out in North Carolina, you know, on a stream I know nothing about, just throwing random patterns.
But
I just remember being out in that stream and catching my first fish, and just the sense of accomplishment that kind of overcame my entire body from the new job to what I had accomplished, you know, working through depression and anxiety. That moment just sticks with me in terms of it was so free, you know. I just, for the first time probably my whole life, I felt kind of out of body, just joy.
Wow.
You know, with the present.
Right. And isn't that what so many guys just don't have contact with?
Absolutely.
Is that just, even if it's fleeting, a sense of joy that's also not performance-based.
Exactly.
It's not like, that's, sure, we won the championship.
Yeah. That's a huge point. Because for me, it was, I'm an all-state linebacker.
Right.
I had X number of tackles.
Right.
You know, I had X number of scholarship offers. Mm. You know, it's deflecting, you know, and if you're only taking pride in those type of things and a check and a, you know, and your stock doing X or Y, that's not intrinsic joy.
Right.
You know, that's all external stuff.
Yeah.
It's being happy internally.
Yeah.
That you got to work on.
Amen. That's a beautiful point. So you catch your first fish. And now here we are in front of your fly tying setup, and you have a business that helps men fish for their own mental health. Give me the quick and dirty jump.
Yeah.
I went down
a rabbit hole to say the least. Yeah.
You're an all in type of guy.
Yeah. All in. So when I moved out to Colorado, I still had my girlfriend's brother's just total piece of shit reel that was rusted and the line was dirty and you could barely cast with it. And so I'm like, screw this. I'm going to the fly shop. Like, I'm going camping. I'm gonna figure this shit out. Like, so go to the fly shop, buy a rod, get a reel, get some flies. And, you know, from then on, I was just completely hooked. And there was a free fly tying class that I went to. And from that first night, I was hooked on tying.
Yeah.
And I went down that rabbit hole really hard. And that brings us where full circle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the fish are eating what you made yourself.
Right.
So it's a really cool, empowering feeling.
Yeah.
You know, when you tie your own fly and a picky fish in Colorado eats it and you land it.
And you got it.
And I knew for a long time that I wanted to do something around men's mental health.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And, you know, I just kind of told one of my buddies who's now a board member, I'm like, more and more people keep asking if they can buy these from me. Mm. You know, if I'm tying at a coffee shop or at the bar and people just come up and they're, are you selling these? And
yeah,
it had gotten to a level where they were sellable. And I was like, look, maybe we should do something with this.
Yeah.
You know, like people are coming to us. This isn't me proactively doing anything. And so it's really cool. For my birthday, he incorporated us.
Oh, wow.
And so he gave me that final push over the hurdle to get this thing going.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was that for the mental health aspect, or was that just for you having a fly company that you were selling flies? How did that meld together into fishing the good fight?
Well, I knew how therapeutic both fly fishing and tying had been for me.
Yeah.
And all that time in nature and hanging out with a buddy and shooting the shit, and, you know, over fish. And it really had become a massive outlet for me.
Okay.
The mindfulness associated with both of them. I mean, when you're on the water, you're paying attention to what the fish are doing, what the bugs are doing, what the weather's doing.
Yeah.
You're just completely there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same with fly tying. You're completely present. You're not thinking about anything else. And on top of that, Colorado has the highest male suicide rate.
Really?
In the country.
Let's hold that for a second.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I don't have a good answer for it.
Okay.
I don't. I don't know why, but it's the worst in the country.
Wow, that's fascinating to me, given that we have access to the outdoors. We are
would never expect it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So who gives a fuck?
Right.
Right. It's here. This is it.
Yeah. And so we said, all right, we have a way to generate revenue.
Yeah.
We can sell flies, which, you know, most nonprofits don't have a revenue source. It's all fundraising.
Right.
And we kind of started it like, well, I don't know what the hell this is going to be.
Yeah.
We're just going to go.
Brilliant.
You know, like,
I love it.
And learn as we go.
Yeah.
And this thing's going to evolve as we go. And it has. I mean, day one was, we want to help dudes and we're going to sell flies. And that's all we know.
Yeah.
We didn't know where that money was going to go.
I love it.
You know,
ready, fire, aim,
It was, that was the entire approach the whole time. And that's what's been really fun about it.
Yeah.
Is we're so fluid and every week it's evolving and changing.
Okay.
And it went from that to what I mentioned to you with our purpose earlier.
Yeah.
You know, with those three different areas of destigmatizing and helping men take action and, you know, providing, subsidizing mental health costs. And that's what we do is every quarter we give a donation to one of those three areas.
Gotcha.
So, you know.
And so are you taking guys out?
Not at the moment.
Okay. But that's the plan.
That's the plan. 100%. Okay. So eventually we want to run retreats.
Okay.
So 2-3 night retreats with guys.
Yeah.
Get them on the water. Get them talking to other guys.
Wow.
You know, implement some mindfulness activities, some different, you know, therapeutic outlets into it. But just let dudes hang out together in nature.
Yeah.
You know. And we plan on offering that in corporate platforms for employees. We plan on offering it for a couple buddies that want to go out. You know, whatever. And we've developed some good connections in the industry for water. We know we can fish with these guys. And there's been just so much support in the industry. It's been a really cool part of it.
Amazing. Where do you want to see male mental health? Like, I know I'm asking you to forecast and kind of do a big picture, but let me ask you a different question. If you could have one shift in male mental health, what would you shift? Is it stigma? Is it conversation? Is it education? Where would you go? It's like, here's the magic wand.
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of our partners is a group in Golden called Man Therapy.
Okay.
What they do is they run targeted ads throughout the country and utilize kind of a manly figure with a mustache that's making jokes and, you know, fishing or grilling a steak or
whatever,
you know, to kind of make men feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
And then they have a head inspection test where guys can see what they're at risk for. So once take this, it's like, hey, you're at pretty high risk of depression or you're at low risk of substance abuse.
Right.
And then it will direct you towards men specific therapists in the area. So when the first time I was talking to them though, back to your point is, you know, we were talking about destigmatizing it and resources for guys. And the guy who runs their marketing program just said, look, destigmatizing is great.
Yeah.
It don't mean a shit if guys don't do anything.
Right.
you know?
Okay.
And
it's
so
safe to go, but no one's going.
Exactly.
Okay.
So for me, it's taking action.
Okay.
That would be the biggest shift.
Okay. And what would, if you could just, again, same magic wand, what's the first action step you'd have guys take?
Going to therapy.
Okay.
Just regardless of who you are, how you're feeling, go to therapy.
Yeah.
You know, just like me, you may have no clue.
Yeah.
You have something that can be treated.
Did you get brain scans done as an ex-football player? Did you have CTE or any of that?
I haven't. I mean, I certainly got concussions. Yeah. You know, we didn't test for them back then like they do now. So no clue how many, but no, I haven't.
Right. But you said it started earlier anyway.
It did.
So the propensity was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely started earlier. But yeah, I mean, just go see a therapist or talk to a friend.
Yeah.
About how you're feeling.
Why do you think fishing specific, other than just being outdoors, is so men will gravitate to that?
Yeah.
As opposed to like a men's group in the back of the church or, you know, a therapy group or AA or something like that.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple of reasons. I think one is it creates a sense of accomplishment that's really important.
Okay.
Especially with guys that are struggling.
Okay.
You know, if it's those small victories that keep them pushing, you know, and keep them going. So for a guy to go from never throwing a fly line to being able to tie on his own fly, catch a fish, net it. Like it's a big sense of accomplishment.
Right.
So I think that's one of the biggest things. And then the other is the mindfulness component that we talked about earlier. I mean, you're just all in or else you're not catching fish.
I agree with you on the male end of it has to have something. We joked about it's not just performance oriented, but I have a ethos and one of the tenets is to be, you know, it's presence and performance. We can tell guys you need to meditate, you need to be focused, you need to concentrate, but so much of our energy is get out there and do.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's the same way. It's funny you say that because when it comes to signs for men with mental illness, it's versus women, it's much more behavioral.
Really? Say more about that.
So, you know, guys will act out and they will take action that is abnormal when they're struggling with a mental illness, whether that is substance abuse, whether it is anger issues, you know, severe rage, getting in fights. I mean, the signs for men or just completely withdrawing.
Right.
It's usually more actionable versus women tend to think about it more and talk about it more. Guys just keep it in, but they act out.
Yeah. Okay. Have you heard anything statistic wise or narrative wise now that COVID exists on mental health and specifically on male mental health?
I really haven't on COVID. I mean, you know, what I keep hearing is that it's spiraling.
Right.
It's getting worse and worse.
Right.
I haven't seen any really good stats to pull out on it. I know that it's causing a lot of issues when it comes to, drinking, substance abuse, domestic abuse,
everything's
suicide.
Compounded.
Yeah. It's all compounded. So I know it's gotten way worse and it's kind of ironic that we started right as COVID came in as a mental health company. It's kind of a strange coincidence. And I think that's helped us get some traction though, because it's just brought it more to light.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll get it. We're going to get the truth of it for a while.
No.
Because I don't think it's in any government's best interest to say, holy shit, suicide's up 250% or whatever it is. My buddy Connor Beaton has a great line that isolation leads to amplification. And so here now, no matter what, whether you're an actualized, empowered male, but you're like, shit, I don't go to my office where I see my buddies. I don't go to the bar where I see my buddies. I don't go to jiu-jitsu where I see my buddies. I'm home, man, and I don't feel good. What do I do?
Right.
I have a friend too, whose boyfriend was in the alcohol industry. And right as the lockdown happened, they said within 72 hours, they'd done their entire month's last quota plus 20%. In 3 days.
Wow.
Right. And some of that was people stocking up.
Right.
But I don't see a dip in alcohol sales, especially now as we're getting ready to, it feels like lockdown a bit more.
Yeah.
Back to the flies. What is it about tying that it sounds like what you've described to me is two different forms of meditation.
It is.
Fly tying and fishing.
Yep.
How does it help shut that outside world out for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then why is that a benefit to someone who has a challenge such as depression?
Yeah. So once again, I think it comes down to you're accomplishing something.
Okay.
You know, when you get 10 different materials and put on a small hook and you're able to create something that a fish would eat.
Yeah.
And that's a success. You just did something. You accomplished something, right?
You kind of outsmarted nature.
You kind of did. Yeah.
Which seems to be what, as a species, we're trying to do it. we'll stick to the micro.
Yeah. but then there's, you know, it's pretty complicated. Okay. You know, it's just like any kind of hobby you think of, whether it's somebody painting model airplanes or,
yeah,
you know, building something in their basement or carpentry. Like there's a lot of components to it and there's a lot of skills to it and a lot of techniques, and you see yourself progress drastically over time. But you're all there. It's so mindful because you're having to make sure this piece of thread's exactly where it needs to be. That wire is exactly where it needs to be. If you're not there, it's going to suck. So it is absolutely a form of meditation. It's very mindful. And there's accomplishment with it.
Brilliant.
Hey, gang, hope you're loving this conversation with Jennings. I absolutely walked away with so much from it. And I want to let you know that it's coming, right? We have the holidays right around the corner. We have Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Christmas, New Year's, etc. And I'm going to be giving away some incredible deals as a thank you to those of you who have supported the podcast and supported my movement. But I need you to go get on my mailing list. And I know this is one of those shitty things that people don't want to do because you think you're going to get spammed 50 times, but I won't. So please go to www.manuncivilized.com and drop your email. One, I'm going to give you a free gift right then and there for doing so. And two, you're going to get first access to a lot of limited deals that I have coming out in just a few weeks. All right, back to Jennings.
I want to start tying. So here's my vision.
Yeah.
I get a hook, I get some fishing line, I go grab a mosquito, and I tie the fucking thing. So I'm good to go, right?
I don't think that's an artificial lure. I think that's live bait, but.
So walk me through, like, this feels like I'm about to ask you, like, explain chess to me
in
7 minutes.
Talk
me through the basics of fly fishing, fly tying, fly theory. Like geek us out.
Geek you out a little bit. Okay. So we'll start with fly fishing in general, right?
Okay.
So really the whole concept of fly fishing is that you're imitating what the fish are eating and tricking them into thinking it's a real fly.
Because
that's what most of what they eat are flies.
Right.
So there's a host of different insects of flies, and that's where we really geek out.
Yeah.
You know, where we can get really in the weeds as we turn into entomologists. Where we know every stage of every bug in the world and what color it is and what size it is and what stage the fish is eating at that time. You know, most people think of fly fishing and they see Brad Pitt,
right,
you know, it with his beautiful hair out in Wyoming,
throwing
this line on top of the water. But, you know, the reality is most of the fishing is done under the water, you know, where it's that most of our time is spent below the surface.
Gotcha.
And, you know, there's between 3 to 4 stages for any insect. We're trying to imitate whichever stage the fish is eating.
And is that just like, do you have an intuitive sense? Are you checking a website that's like, this is where they are?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to do it. So the first thing we'll usually do when we go to the water is we have a sign that we put on our net and we actually filter what's going through the water.
Oh.
So we'll see the active bugs moving through the water
and
know what the fish could be eating.
Okay.
We're looking at how the fish is behaving.
Okay.
Is he moving? Is he suspended in the water? Is he down low?
Huh.
We're watching how much he's moving to eat stuff.
Are you going after a particular fish?
Most of the time, yeah.
So you've sighted fishing. A fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
We see a fish. We watch what he's doing. We make our best educated guess and try to put it right in his face.
Gotcha.
So he has to eat it.
Okay.
So then you're dealing with adjusting your depth, getting more weight, less weight, because a fish could be eating up on the surface. He could be eating on the very bottom.
Yeah.
And they're not going to move very far. They're lazy.
Right.
You know, so you got to get pretty close to them.
Yeah.
And that's where the real art of it comes into play.
Okay.
Is being able to adjust those things well, and then once a fish eats it and you hook him, then you've got to be good enough to get him to the net.
Okay.
Because they're going to try to wrap you around rocks.
Oh.
You know, they're going to try to break you off any way they can.
Okay.
So yeah, a whole nother portion of it. And, you know, it seems really complicated, but to those that don't fly fish and want to get into it, at the end of the day, it's just trying to match whatever material, whatever fly you have that's closest to what that fish is eating.
Right.
You know, and every fly shop knows what, you know, what flies are working on different sections of water, put you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, that's how I got started, was just going to fly shops and being like, hey guys, you know, I'm new. I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Like, can you give me some flies? Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
help me out here.
I don't care what they are. Then I realized that if I wanted to get better at this, I was going to have to learn more about bugs, you know? And
so what is that process? Are you like YouTubing? Like,
there's all sorts of resources. Yeah. You know? So like, you know, there's all sorts of entomology fly fishing classes that just teach you the basics. Like, hey, these are the four main species of flies to know.
Mm.
And these different bugs have three different stages.
Gotcha.
You know, there's an adult, there's the in-between stage when they're coming out of their shuck.
Yeah.
And then they're a nymph. They're in the bottom, like a larva,
gotcha. You know?
So it's not that complicated. It just, and there's a ton of resources.
You just got to get in it.
Yeah. You just got to get in
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So no way to learn without doing.
The first day you tied your own fly and caught your own fish. Tell me that story.
Oh,
or tell either that or tell me your best fishing story. Feel free to lie. No, no one's going to know.
So the first fly that I caught, first fish I caught on my own fly was just near where you live. It was on Clear Creek.
Okay.
So the water was freezing over. It was probably around this time of year, getting cold. I went out there with this just absolute shitty tie.
Uh-huh.
You know, this thing didn't look anything like what I was trying to
and you made
trying
it.
To imitate. I made it. and the guy who created the fly I was trying to make has become a really close friend now, which okay. makes it funny.
Cause
you know, nowadays he's like, well, you can actually tie my shit well, you know,
right.
like I approve of this, but it was awful. I mean, it was a disaster and I caught a fish on it and I was just so stoked.
I bet.
I mean, it just brought everything full circle, like we were saying earlier.
Did you eat it?
I didn't eat it.
Okay.
No, I put that one back.
Gotcha.
Most fishing out here, we do a lot. It's a lot of catch and release.
Really?
Just because we have a lot of protected water.
Oh, okay.
But there's, you know, if I'm out camping or, usually when I'm out camping, if there's a fresh stream or lake, I'm going to cook that fish.
Yeah. Okay. So stage two, how do you figure out what the hell or what materials are you using to create a fly?
So that's where there's a ton of resources, books, YouTubes, our website, we post tying instructional videos every couple of weeks.
Awesome.
So we'll
give me the website real quick.
Yeah.
So people in the
fishingthegoodfight.org.
Okay.
So you can see a fly tying section on our website. We've got a bunch of videos up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Step-by-step instructions, tricks, tips on how to create that pattern.
Okay.
But there's tons of that out there. And if you go to any fly shop and you're just like, hey, can I learn some really basic, you know, flies?
Yeah.
They're going to set you up with some, you know, the 10 materials you need to tie something really simple and just get off the ground with it.
Gotcha.
And then you go down a rabbit hole where, like you saw earlier,
you
know, I've got a whole wall full of feathers hanging and five bins of endless. I mean, it's basically a fly shop down there.
Right. Okay. Stage two. It still feels like breaking into this idea is massive.
Yeah, it does.
So you buy this setup that I'm looking at, which what's the entry price? If I was like, okay, new guy, I want to start tying. What am I looking at here?
So like intro tying kit, $50.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
And that's what I started with. I used that thing until it broke.
No shit.
It was totally fine until 2 years later because I travel a bunch.
Right.
Finally broke on me and I went and got a nicer one.
Okay.
You know? So those things are totally fine. You can go to a shop and just say, hey, give me some basic recipes.
Yeah.
Give me some basic, you know, flies that work in this area.
Yeah.
And they'll give you some easy stuff to start on.
What is the biggest misconception about fly fishing?
I think it's going back to what we were talking about earlier, that it's all these beautiful casts.
Right. And, it's not
and wind blowing your hair and, you know, and it's the artistry. Fish are coming up and jumping out of the water for your fly.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest misconception, just because of what you see on commercials. And
okay.
Any serious fly fisherman, whenever we see a commercial or a movie with fly fishing in it, we just kind of cover our eyes and we're just like, I can't watch this. This is not what fly fishing is.
Gotcha. All right. Where do you see all of the things that you're doing, right? Do you want this to be a fly company? Mm-hmm. Do you want this to be an experiential company? Do you want this to just be what feeds men into other mental health programs?
Yeah.
No. How do you see this kind of rolling out in the next couple of years? Because you guys are relatively young.
Yeah, but we're less than a year old.
Wow. And you're pandemic.
Right.
Right.
And we're pandemic. We're right at a year now. But our thoughts there have evolved a lot over the course of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's facets of all of that we want to do.
Okay.
But, you know, in the long run, we want to be a company that, yes, it's experiential.
Right.
We're constantly taking guys out on retreats.
Yeah.
Getting them on the water. Yes, we want to destigmatize mental illness among men.
Sure.
And continue to get that message out. We want to be a resource for both fly fishing and for men's mental health.
Wow.
And on our website already, you know, we've got that head inspection test I was telling you about, which tells you what you're at risk for.
Can you walk me through a little bit of that?
Yeah. So it's basically 20 questions and it's just kind of, how are you doing right now?
Yeah.
You know, what's your sleep like?
Mm.
How much are you drinking? How's stress at work?
Mm-hmm.
It's just 20 questions. And at the end of it, it tells you where you're at risk for a host of different mental illnesses.
Okay.
Bipolar, depression, anxiety, substance abuse.
Wow.
And then there's their man therapy finder that puts you in touch with men specific, they work with men specifically. And we have those tools. We have informational tools on how to talk to someone, how to bring up the subject if you're worried about someone. So we want to be
you're worried about somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. How to have that conversation.
Awesome. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Because I imagine that there are a number of women listening to this who say, I can see it.
Yeah.
I've brought it up. It's gotten shut down. Or I'm hesitant to bring it up. Yeah. I even get a lot of women and say, how do I give someone your book without them making it feel like there's something wrong with
it? Right.
Like just throw it in their lap and walk away and it's up to them. And
I think like this.
Look, it's got a gorilla on the cover.
What's the family?
But this is the elephant in the room for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
So walk me through some of that.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to first bringing it up, I think there's some helpful points. I think it's, there's definitely a way to approach it and a way not to.
Okay.
So you never want to go to a guy and say, hey, seems like you're messed up.
Yeah.
Or, hey, like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's the route you want to take is more passively. Hey, I've noticed you haven't been hanging out with us as much. Mm. Is everything all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything's fine. Is it really?
Yeah.
You know, it's, there's a gentle way to go about it versus saying, hey, I see you have an issue.
Right.
And so it just feels threatening that way.
Mm-hmm.
Versus
guard goes up, armor's up.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Versus like what we just said, where it's something as simple as, you know, I've noticed that, you know, you haven't been like, if it's an employer,
right,
for example, like I noticed you haven't been as focused lately.
Yeah.
Or I noticed that, some of your sales dialogues, like they're a little off. Like, are you all right? Like, do you want to talk about anything?
Yeah.
And if they say yes, and they actually open that up a little bit, it's hard listening.
Mm.
You know, it is active listening.
Yeah.
You know, acknowledging them, empathizing with them.
Right.
I can see how that's hard.
Yeah.
I understand. Not, oh, tough that out.
Yeah, you know, get over that.
Yeah, exactly. Get over that. Like, other people have it way worse than you.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Like those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, it's all empathy. I understand how that can feel that way.
Right, right.
And just letting them know that you are happy to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the end of the conversation, however that is.
Right.
If it's as small as anytime, you know, let's talk about it next week.
Right.
Or hey, if you want to talk about it anytime, give me a call. Hey, I know a great therapist if you're ever interested.
Yeah.
You know, it's just letting them know that you're there to help and that you're not judging.
Right.
You're not attacking. You know, you're not saying get over it.
Right.
Like just listening and being.
Yeah. Good. One of my favorite questions for men, especially because we always do fine.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of a dickish coaching question, but I go, well, what else are you besides fine?
You know? It is kind and of dickish, it's but
like,
I like it.
Oh, wow. Like, wow. Yeah. We just went down the rabbit hole of like, oh, your wife just left, your kid's sick, your business isn't doing that well.
Yeah.
You're not within a fucking country mile of being fine. So thank you for telling me.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, another great way to bring it up is being vulnerable yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how many men will go just all out
right
into this stuff and symptoms they're dealing with
right
once they've heard us talk about it.
For sure.
Or the amount of guys that see a video we do talking about it, messaging us like crazy, can't thank you enough for what you're doing.
Yeah.
I've been struggling with the same thing myself. And all of a sudden they feel better about it because
right.
they've just verbalized it.
Right.
So, you know, if you are struggling with something yourself, that's a great way to open the conversation.
For sure. You know, I mentioned him before, but my good friend Connor Beaton runs Man Talks. And he says when he it's his story, but when he started it, he started that whole organization because he was going through a really, really hard time and told his best friend, like sat down and said, you know what, I'm just not doing well. I'm struggling. Yeah. I'm in this. And his friend started crying and he went, oh, is he crying on my behalf?
Right.
And he stopped and asked him. And the guy said, you know, it was a week or so ago that I was thinking about killing myself. And they looked at each other. And his point was like, I know this guy's favorite drink. I know we've known each other for 20 years. I know his favorite movie. I know who he's dating. I know everything about him. But I had no idea that just under the surface was that much pain and that much struggle. That much struggle.
No one can see it.
No one can see it.
I mean.
And I think if anybody listening to this is just realize it's so cliche, but everybody's struggling with something.
Yeah.
Especially now at a time when things are so amplified.
Exactly.
So being kind, being gentle with that conversation is probably the difference of actually getting a guy to open up.
It is.
And or shutting him down further.
It is.
And then you said the magic word of just listen. You know, so much of everything in therapeutic is, yeah, okay, cool, tell me. And guess what? I went through the same shit.
Exactly.
You know, I do this exercise every time I get a men's group of, okay, raise your hand if you've ever had an issue with alcohol. And you get 10 guys and they all kind of look around and then it's like, meh, hands go up. Yeah. Alcohol's not that big. Drugs, meh, you know, you get same thing.
Right.
You got issue with porn or sex. And then there's like checking around. And then like this, most of the hands go up.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, how many of you thought you were going to be the only hand up on one of these?
Right.
And every fucking hand goes up.
Yeah.
And so there is something in the male animal.
There is.
That's like, I'm the only one.
There is.
And I don't know if that's cultural.
Fault. And yeah.
Right. Do you think that's I know we're kind of bouncing a bit, but do you think that's strictly culture? And is it male? Are we keeping that culture alive?
Right.
Or is it an external pressure that's keeping that culture alive? Or both?
I would argue that it's probably mostly us.
Yeah.
You know, in all honesty, you know, men are so performance driven.
Right.
And when you're not successful, you know, in the US, you deem yourself a failure. A lot of guys don't really understand what it means to be a man now.
Right.
You know, they're not hunter gatherers anymore.
Yeah.
They're in an office. Their wife may make more money than them.
Right.
What does it mean to be a man these days? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a struggle there. So that's more of a societal thing.
Yeah.
So, I think it is both, but I would say men can do a hell of a lot better.
Yeah. I agree with you.
You know,
we can do better for each other.
For each other.
And with each other.
Yeah.
And just when you said hunter gatherer, my first thought, when you were talking about the process of creating, going out, catching, bringing home, like that's predatory as fuck.
It's primal, yeah. Like
get back in touch with that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's primal.
That
man.
In itself will, this is a whole separate conversation, but we don't have a place for the male predator in nope. Especially in the West.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe military, sometimes high level sport, but it's still not.
That's the closest.
Then what do you do?
Thing. Yeah.
Then you're done at 22.
Right.
Right. Like, okay.
And that's cool. Where there's so many issues.
Right.
And you'll see that with ex-athletes and vets probably get hit the hardest.
Yeah.
I would argue just because that is their life. That's their identity.
Right.
that's how they're
that's their culture, coping. That's their team, that's
exactly
their, yeah, that's their whole thing.
Right. Same with quitting a job you've been doing for 30 years.
Right.
You know, where maybe you're the best salesman. Like
yeah.
that strips away your identity. More men need to develop that internal identity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That we were talking about earlier. So it is a mix of cultural and you know, just men being better. But you know, I think the biggest first step is more dudes checking on each other.
Yeah.
You know, and we preach that all the time is check in.
Right.
Just call your buddy.
Right.
You know?
And throw really on the end of the question, how are you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw really on there.
Right. It's the key word there. How right. are you really?
And,
how
and
are you doing really?
Then you guys will get to a point where you joke about that, you know?
Right.
You're like, you say fine, but you're laughing.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. Fine and.
Yeah.
And I'm going down a little bit of a rabbit hole right now.
But it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, just seeing how they're doing. Just
yeah.
being honest, you know? And I think that's a great starting point that a lot of men can do better.
Yeah. Okay. So walk me back real quick through, you're saying you want to do it all with bringing awareness, with bringing mm-hmm. education, but also doing the live, not indoctrination, but getting guys out into the field
yep.
in themselves. If lockdown doesn't let you, what would you like to see, or what would you see during a time when you're not allowed to be gathering?
Well, you know, that's kind of the nice thing about this is that, you know, fly fishing really is, it's a group activity you're doing alone.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
like
so
you're not standing shoulder to shoulder.
No, you can easily be 12 feet away from somebody.
Right.
You know, we're usually 30 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
So even during COVID, guiding stopped for a little bit, but mm-hmm. then it came back.
Right, right.
And
right.
and there were just more regulations around it. You have to wear a mask.
Right.
You know, so I don't think we're gonna have a struggle there. You know, it's finding water we're able to use.
Okay.
That's peaceful.
Yeah.
And we've got some partners that are helping us there and. It's just continuing to get the word out so that more guys know this is an option. Like I can go do this. I can learn about this. I can talk with some mm-hmm. other guys. Like, and like I said, maybe it's guys, you know, maybe it's not.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. For you, what's the process of a man reaching you? How do people find you?
Yeah.
And this isn't just the, like, where do they find you? How does a man go from, I think something doesn't feel good, to holy shit, there's this guy doing an amazing program?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. You know, it's like you said, I mean, most of our presence is online.
Okay.
You know, in terms of the way that people actually come to the company.
Yeah.
Google search, Instagram, social media, all that kind of stuff and word of mouth. But okay. Once they have found us, that's where we have put a ton of work into making it easy on the website to find those resources.
Okay.
And to take those steps where we've had a big shift in our brand in the last couple of months where maybe we kind of felt like a fly fishing company that might do something with men's mental health
yeah.
to being a men's mental health company that uses fly fishing.
Okay.
You know, so we've basically flipped that on itself and, you know, all the updates to the website that we've done reflect that to make all these resources much more easy for guys to find.
Awesome.
And a lot of guys just message us.
Yeah. Huh.
You know,
social media.
Yeah. They want to chat.
Yeah.
You know, talk about their story with it.
Wow.
We always talk about it. We get a lot of guys that are like, hey, do you know a good therapist in the area?
Yeah.
You know? And yes, I know quite a few.
Yeah, I do too.
You know? So guys just reach out to us and there's a sense of community around it too.
Beautiful.
And we have memberships. And so we've got about, you know, 30 active paying members and those people talk to each other.
Yeah.
They end up fishing together.
Yeah.
You know, they make new friends that way. You know, we just had one of our first members last weekend invited me to go fishing with them. I couldn't go. And it was two of the other members that he met through,
it.
You know,
I love it.
So it is a community and it doesn't matter if the guy has an illness or not.
Right, right, right.
Like it's just supporting the cause.
Right, right, right.
You know, some guys have never experienced any of this stuff,
right.
But they know someone that has.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and
everybody knows.
Everyone knows someone.
Okay.
And so they just want to support it. And all of a sudden there's a network of 30 other guys that they never knew.
Beautiful.
So, you know, building that community up, making all of our resources easy to find and easy to use.
Okay. Where do you guys find you?
Fishingthegoodfight.org.
Okay. And then social media?
Social media, it's just Fishing the Good Fight.
On what's your better channel or your favorite?
Instagram.
Channel?
We use Instagram the most. That's where we're posting a lot of our content around mental illness, you know, tips for mental health,
beautiful,
fly fishing, fly tying. So that's the majority of our content. But outside of those two places, yeah, I mean, our website and Instagram.
Awesome. Really appreciate this. For guys listening, hear this. This is the guy that you didn't think would have it. This is the guy that you would look at and on the surface go, his life's amazing. I just want his life. I told you I was going to introduce you to a buddy of mine, Joe Sheehy, who was a bodybuilder. Same thing. Very good looking guy. Full head of hair.
Jacked.
Runs a great runs a great company. And I was like, yeah, I was suicidal.
Right.
And no one knew because the surface didn't match what was going on the inside.
Exactly. As we've said over and over again, it's silent. You know, I think Robin Williams said it really well. He said, everyone's dealing with shit you don't know about. Be nice to them.
Amen. Leave it at that. All right, you guys, reach out to this man, support the cause, support his company, and please take care of each other and take care of yourselves. Thanks again for joining.
Thanks, man.
Cheers.
This is Traver Boehm signing off on another episode of the Uncivilized Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please give us a share, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, and if you're interested in getting a hold of my book, Man Uncivilized, whether you're a man or a woman, please go to www.manuncivilized.com/the book and get readin'.